Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State, brought to you once again by On Fire Ministries in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or wrong. Yeah, actually it is. It actually is about right and wrong, and really there is no middle ground anymore. People that have been vacillating between right and wrong or creating the false narrative of right and left, which I'm going to be talking about here in a couple minutes, because I saw something the other day that really bothered me from a conservative source that it displayed a fundamental misunderstanding of this entire issue. This is about right and wrong. It's about the survival of this republic. It is about whether we follow and honor our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or whether people take a different course. And so that's why our hope is not in man, but it's in Jesus Christ. And we can't end in prayer. We must also move to action. That means the gospel of the kingdom. Isaiah 61, 1 through 4. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord anointed me to bring good news to the humble. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the cloak of praise instead of a disheartened spirit. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins, they will raise up the former devastations, they will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. So let's talk a little bit about this whole right-left paradigm. Okay, there is a biblical paradigm. There's a biblical worldview that we follow here on this show. It is called the classical synthesis. In other words, truth comes from God, and there are two ways that he has revealed truth to us: through his written word and also through the law of nature. In other words, the truth he has written into creation. So when I look at a painting, I know that there is a painter. When I look at a mountain, I know that there is a creator. When I look at a building, I know there's a builder. Why? Because the level and sophistication and beauty imbued in these things implies that it was created, implies that there was a hand behind it. And so, and there was thought behind it as well, and that there's actually truth written into it. In other words, a corner is a corner. 5 cubits, 5 feet, 5 kilometers are exactly those things. And today, we have an attempt to say that there is no law of nature, or there is no law of nature's God. Some people will say, and this happens inside the church, some people will say, you know, it's just the Bible. Well, actually, it is just the Bible and just his truth and just the truth that he's written into creation. That's why the Declaration of Independence says the law of nature and nature's God. It's literally was and is a legal term of art that comes from Sir William Blackstone's commentaries on the laws of England, where he defines these terms, the law of nature and the law of nature's God, in just the way that I told you, the law of nature's God being divine scripture, the law of nature being God's truth written into creation. Okay, these are literally, they were terms of legal art at the time, because he had just finished his commentaries on the laws of England, Sir William Blackstone. And so in 1769, you're only talking within 7 years of the Declaration of Independence, so that you can't get away from this was influencing how they were writing and how they believed. Why is that part important? Because today we have this idea that there is a right and there is a left. I've used that term sometimes just for the ease of use, because some people don't even understand that that's really actually not what's going on. The better paradigm, the biblical paradigm that shows us how to discuss issues today. And by the way, if you want to look at the very first representative government, you just have to go back to Moses, where he had representatives from the various tribes and the various families to ease his burden. It was the very first representative government. And the founding fathers, pastors, believed this, actually preached on the fact that representative government not only came from Moses, but that also America was a new type of promised land for Christians. You can read about those sermons later. Anyway, the bottom line is this. There is zero government power, and there is 100% government power. That is the paradigm. 0% is called anarchy, where nobody's in control. And this is actually a transitionary form of government, because a transitional form of government, because it never stays there where nobody's in control. Somebody is always trying to gain control in such a situation. Then on the other end, you have a monarchy, or one person in control of government. Well, that really can't be true either in our current system, because it's not always one person. There's always a team behind them. So that's really not a form either. It's more a transitional form of government. So that leaves three others. You have, toward the limited government or less government side of this spectrum, a republic, or res publica, which comes from the Latin, the public thing, meaning the rule of law. In other words, it doesn't matter who is in charge, doesn't matter who has the majority vote, you always have these certain rights. And these rights, we believe, they come from God, because they do come from God, because it's his truth written into creation. Then on the other side of the spectrum, you have an oligarchy, where you have this team of people who are seeking, or families that are grouped together, seeking to rule a country, okay? Today, we really have a battle. It's always really been this battle between a republic, representative, rule of law, and an oligarchy, where people are telling you what you believe and trying to control everything. That's what the globalists are. They're an oligarchy. In the middle, you have a democracy, which comes from the word demo, or the words demos kratian, which means people rule, or mob rule. In other words, 50.01% determine the rights of everybody else. These, in the old city states, in Athens and others in Greece, really descended into chaos, because people could vote away the rights of somebody else. Well, of course, people are going to be upset about that. They're going to start going into the streets, kind of, wait, that's kind of like what's happening today in, I don't know, Melbourne, Australia, and Europe. And so these democracies never last very long because of this. We are not a democracy. We are a republic here in America. We are guaranteed a republican form of government in the Constitution. And in fact, the word democracy is in none of the founding documents. It is in none of the 50 state constitutions. It was actually mentioned by the founding fathers as something we never wanted to have, because we wanted to have rule of law, where no matter who was in power, people always had rights from God protected by the Constitution and those governing. Then there are very clear delineations of economic systems. Now, today, people, and this is where I want to go with what somebody said the other day, they confuse economic systems with types or forms of government. So, again, zero government power to 100% government power. What God wants is a representative form of government, a republic where there's rule of law. His law, his truth written into creation, is what is determinative, and that the rights that we have come from him. The right of property, for example, thou shalt not steal. The right to life, thou shalt not murder. The right of liberty, the ability to love your neighbor as yourself and worship the Lord God with all your heart, mind, body, soul, and spirit. These are unalienable and inherent. Unalienable, not inalienable. Unalienable means unalienable. You can't take it away. You can never give it away. It's always there. Whether we recognize it or not is a different question. But regarding economic systems, the economic systems also flow along this spectrum toward the less government spectrum. So anybody, by the way, that tells you, you know, Matt Shea hates government. No, I don't. I'm just for limited government as the biblical worldview says. So let's get that out of it. Anybody who says that is a disinformation agent, unwittingly or wittingly, because they're saying something that is clearly untrue. And you have to ask why, and it is to try to discredit movements and discredit what the founding fathers set up and try to destroy this country and this great republic. So the economic systems go along this spectrum the same as the governing systems do. So from anarchy to monarchy, well, just like that, you have on the one end of the spectrum a free market. And this is the biblical worldview, a free market where I have the freedom to buy and sell things, and I can then use it for what God has called me to do. The free market truly isn't in existence anymore in America. It is in some places, but not as the founding fathers intended. The next step up on the ladder, if you will, is fascism. Fascism is not on the right. It has nothing to do with free markets. And I'm going to prove this to you. And this is what somebody said in a newsletter the other day that I just completely disagree with, it because it shows a fundamental misunderstanding of history. I'll get to that here in a second. Under fascism, there is government control over the economy, although there's still some private ownership of property. Then the next step up is what we commonly know as national socialism or Nazism, was what the Germans believed. They were not on the right. They were socialists. They believed in government control over the economy and over some private businesses, particularly in this case, car makers. For example, Volkswagen came from this Nazi idea of controlling certain sectors of manufacturing. Okay. Then the next step up the ladder is socialism, where there is government control over major sectors of the economy, healthcare, communication, food production. So you have the next step up the ladder, socialism. And as Karl Marx, Vladimir Lenin said, Mao said, socialism is always a transitional economic system to full communism, which is the next one up, where the government controls the economy and owns everything. Okay. So even though there's incremental steps there where people can own some things under socialism, under national socialism, under fascism, under communism, government owns everything. Okay. Which really isn't true, because if it's an oligarchy, then it's only those few people that really own everything. Let's go back to fascism. I have heard this continuously for years. It is totally untrue that fascism is on the right. It is not. It can't be, because it is not a free market economy. Number two, the so-called father of fascism, Benito Mussolini, which is really an oversimplification. Benito Mussolini actually was the chief editor of the Italian socialist newspaper. The initials were PSI, called Avanti. Now, Avanti in Italian means forward. And literally today, the motto of the Communist Party USA is forward. The motto of former President Barack Obama was forward. This was a socialist, a communist motto. In addition to that, Benito Mussolini, writing for this Italian socialist newspaper, had a key writer under him named Antonio Gramsci, who believed that the way to destroy Christianity was through socialism. He actually wrote about this, that there needed to be a, quote, long march through the institutions, end quote. In other words, they needed to take over the church, needed to take over the schools, needed to take over the media. Has that happened today? We're seeing it. There's a great movie out, actually, on the issue of the takeover of the church from communism, called Enemies Within the Church by Trevor Loudon and many other people. Fantastic movie. We're actually going to be screening it here at On Fire Ministries tomorrow night at 6:30. So we're going to start tomorrow night with our last time study, end time study, some people call it, but it's really the last times of the enemy. We are going to be screening this movie very likely tomorrow night. We're trying to get that all coordinated right now. 6:30 tomorrow night on Fire Ministries. All right. Why did I bring up this about fascism? Because Benito Mussolini couldn't get Italians to accept full socialism, so he had a compromise position with fascism. And in fact, a particular socialist named Adolf Hitler was so enthralled by that, he went to Benito Mussolini to try to copy some of the things that he had already done to have control over the economy and ultimately over the people. So please stop referring to fascism as on the right, because historically that is not true. Benito Mussolini was a socialist. He wrote for the socialist newspaper. And oh, by the way, his mottos are used today by the socialists and the communists in America. End of story. We believe in a biblical worldview where there are free markets and also where there is true freedom, where there are unalienable rights that come from God. And that brings us now to your daily intelligence briefing on the international front. As I said last time, I want to be really clear about this. Right now, what we are seeing in the world is China preparing for war with Taiwan, Russia masking troop movements now, preparing for war with Ukraine. And by the way, there was a cyber attack today against a very large Christian database. They are gathering intelligence, they being the Chinese, they being the Russians, they are gathering intelligence on who the Christians are here in this country right now. They're doing it primarily through cyber attacks where they can get access to databases and systems to figure out who they need to come against in America. So this is both an information war now and a cyber war now against this country. They're preparing for all-out war, though, against Taiwan and against part of Ukraine. At the same time, you have the Israelis and the Iranians who are in this fight right now. And very likely, all of these things are going to happen at the same time because it gives the other cover. It just came out to us, and this comes to us from Debka File, 1,000 strong, hear this, 1,000 strong Mossad team plus 10 dissident Iranian scientists ran an 11-month sabotage of Iranian nuclear sites, according to a recently released report. This includes drone strikes and some other things that happened. And I guess drone delivery is the more appropriate way to phrase that. But what we're seeing is what Jack Decker said a year and a half ago, that you start seeing stuff happen in the Middle East and the ramp up of these cyber attacks. And ultimately, when war starts, there will be some sort of a cyber attack, maybe even an EMP attack against the United States to take our grid down while we're at a very weakened state. And we're seeing it right now with the pretender in the White House and other people trying to weaken this country prior to what very likely looks like a war at the beginning of this next year. Now, it doesn't have to happen. We come against the enemy's plans in Jesus' name. We need to be prepared, though, and I am urging every single person watching today, listening today, if you don't have food stored up, if you don't have sundry items stored up, sundry items being like toilet paper, and I don't want to just get the toilet paper because everybody seems to think that that is civilization, okay? I'm talking about other sundry items, too, that you might not think about, toothbrushes, toothpaste, that kind of stuff. Soap. If you don't have that stuff stored up right now, you don't have extra medical supplies right now, I strongly urge you as a Christian, do the Christian thing, prepare to love your neighbor as yourself and put some of that stuff away. And not just for a month, for 6 months to a year at the very least, because it looks like there may be some prolonged supply chain issues, not catastrophic, but some prolonged supply chain issues that you could very much benefit by being prepared for. All right, next on the national front, some good news coming to us from Populist Press. Judge blocked Joe Biden in massive power move. So the Biden administration's mandate for federal contractors to be vaccinated will be halted nationwide. amid a slew of challenges from states. Yes, that is unconstitutional what he's doing, and yes, it is good news that that's happened. In addition to this on the national front, coming to us also from Populist Press, but it's a tweet, actually, where the Columbia Bugle put this up. Tucker Carlson and an attorney for several January 6th defendants discusses his court filing, claiming that there were agent provocateurs, and apparently four at least, agent provocateurs at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, and also unreleased footage coming from that day. In other words, they are now beginning to prove in court, at least according to sworn statements in these court filings, that there were indeed agent provocateurs there on January 6th, which most of us already knew. I gotta talk about this one article. This comes to us from Readout News and the Readout Report. The Let's Go Brandon store has now opened in Massachusetts. I'm just going to throw it out there for everybody. The Let's Go Brandon store has now opened in Massachusetts. You're going to have a whole bunch of people go. I love it. All right. I want to talk to you about COVID vaccinations. So we're having more and more information coming out about, and our guest is going to be talking about this exact thing today and some of the hospital protocols that are out there and what actually is good versus what is not. But the fact of the matter is it is becoming very clear that natural immunity is far more effective and that a lot of the misinformation and disinformation out there about vaccines is intended to create fear where there really shouldn't be any and where there are already treatment protocols that work and people don't need to be afraid of this. They don't need to get a vaccination that, by the way, they admit this. It does not prevent COVID. People can still get COVID. People can still shed COVID and transmit COVID, even with this so-called vaccination. We all know it's a gene therapy. And anybody who says anything different clearly doesn't understand the patents, hasn't read them, and understand the medical science behind that. Speaking particularly to one individual here locally who tried to claim differently. All right. I've seen a lot of different videos out there on this, but one of the videos that's newer with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny talks about how there is a spiritual component to this whole vaccine push. And there really is. Anytime you've got somebody that's got to force you, trick you, put millions of dollars into disinformation and misinformation, you got to ask yourself, why are they doing this? Why are they creating a massive database to just track people so-called anonymously? And here's the thing. 80 Republicans voted for that bill. And Church and State brought this up earlier. I really appreciate this perspective because it just hits home. Every Democrat voted for it. So unless you're going to try to say that the Democrats are the good guys on this issue, how can you justify voting for a bill that puts in a so-called anonymous database when really we know that no such databases are truly ever anonymous? You can't defend it. And that brings us to WorldNet Daily. Dr. Robert Malone, 500,000 American COVID patients didn't have to die. The inventor of the mRNA vaccine technology, gene therapy, decries the blocking of treatments. Dr. Robert Malone said the following, and is part of this article, you can go read this yourself, but he calls it a propaganda campaign, quote unquote. And that Dr. Fauci, that more American lives could have been saved if Dr. Fauci and the government health establishment did not undermine effective COVID-19 early treatments such as ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. Senator Ron Johnson, who's held Senate hearings on the subject, agreed that many lives were lost because of the leadership under Dr. Fauci and the sabotage, quote unquote, sabotage of early treatments. Then you have, coming to us from Technocracy News, the global digital ID. There is zero medical justification for injecting children with mRNA or DNA shots. The real reason appears to be to build a registry of digital IDs on the entire generation of children in order to track further injections as well as all other facets of their lives as they grow up. This plan has been well underway before COVID hit in early 2020. A very good commentary from Technocracy News on this specific issue. And if things couldn't get weirder, a few years ago while I was in the legislature, there was this thing that came up regarding WSU using human beings decomposed as fertilizer. And using this technology, I brought it up on the show, brought it up in the articles that talked about it. I asked the question of some folks from WSU, what is going on with this? And they indeed were testing this. Well, now today, this coming to us from Technocracy News from Switzerland. Now, some of you who are in the younger generation may not remember a movie in 1973 called Soylent Green, starring Charlton Heston. So Charlton Heston stars in Soylent Green, and in the key line of the movie at the end is Soylent Green is people. In other words, their food supply is human beings. Sorry if I ruined the movie, but I don't think I did. You still need to watch it. Now in Switzerland, they are approving of an assisted suicide capsule. You've got to hear this. It's called a quote-unquote death pod. And this so-called death pod reduces the oxygen level inside from 21% to 1%. So the person get into the capsule and lie down, and it's very comfortable as they die. In fact, it's euphoric. There's no pain or choking. But then what happens to the person? I am glad you asked that question, because it doesn't end there. They want to start using people as fertilizer and putting them back in the ground. And that's at least the implication behind doing some of this. Of course, there's checks in the system that they need to answer a survey, as if that's really a check. This is getting kind of creepy, okay? Just being blunt about this, this is getting kind of creepy. And as more is being exposed about what they want to do, these assisted suicide capsules harken back to the things we talked about a few years ago, where they literally put people into this thing and melt them into goo, and then it is put into the ground, goes back to the land. Why would they do this? Why would anybody even think that way? Like recycling human beings. Well, these death pods in Switzerland, it looks like, are kind of pointing in that direction. We don't know. They might come back and say, oh, no, of course not. We don't want to do that. Why are you creating a death pod? Weird. And lastly, on the international front, going back to that, it has now been exposed that three major known backers of what is called the 1630 Fund, they raised a record $390 million, came from four donors, three of whom were named Pierre Omidyar, Hans-Jörg Weiss, and George Soros. Where does that 1630 Fund go? It goes to fund the Democrat Party. And that is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been watching us online, liking the page, following us on the real social media sites like Gab and MeWe and Getter at Matt Shea. Also, we're on iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, Amazon. And if you absolutely have to, you can go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US. And remember, tomorrow night here at 6:30, we're starting our last time study, and we are going to be screening the movie. Hopefully, we're getting it finished. Called Enemies Within, Trevor Loudon's new movie in regards to the enemies within the church. All right, it is my pleasure right now to bring on for the first time onto Patriot Radio, Dr. Brian Artis. He's the CEO of Artis Labs and host of the Dr. Artis Show. He's got a very unique perspective on the hospital protocols that have been going on, actually a very personal perspective as well. Dr. Artis, thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. Blessings to you. How are you doing, sir?
Thank you. Just wrapping up a full day of interviews. It's been good. Thank you. It's been a constant
awesome.
Educate and inspire.
Amen. Amen. That's what we got to be doing. Thank you so much for taking some time to come on to the show today. If you could, tell the listeners a little bit about your own personal story with your father-in-law and what kind of has led you to where you are today.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. So early on in February of 2020, so prior to COVID actually coming to Texas, there was no COVID in Texas in the first week of February of 2020. My father-in-law actually walked into a Dallas-based hospital with complaints of a fever and headache. They actually diagnosed him on day one with the flu. Day two, they called us and said he had pneumonia. Day three, they called us to say he was going into acute kidney failure. Day five, they called us to tell us he was now unconscious, going in and out of consciousness, and had put on forced air to breathe. And that's when we went up there to the hospital. A few days before my father-in-law walked into that hospital, my wife and I also live in Dallas, Texas, but her mother, my wife's mother, had actually fallen 3 days before her dad walked himself into a hospital. She had fallen and broken a vertebrae in her neck and was actually in a rehab center. And we were at that rehab center when we heard over the phone the diagnosis that her dad was given of the flu. And the rehab center asked us not to go to the hospital because if we were exposed to the flu, we might bring it back to the rehab center where the other elderly patients were. So we respected that and sent my wife's sister to be with her dad at the hospital, which she did. And so we were just getting reports every day. But by the time day five came and we were notified that now he was in acute kidney failure for 3 days and was now unconscious and on forced air, that's when I went up there to the hospital. And that's where I uncovered and had been able to be exposed to what they were doing in the hospital. And what they were doing that I was unaware of is that they had given him a viral diagnosis of the flu, but it actually put him on, I could tell, by one big bag hanging by the saline water bag. I could see a bag of what's called vancomycin, which is an antibiotic. And the one thing about that drug is that I know it has a side effect of causing acute kidney failure in a 10 to 15% of all people you give that drug to. So the fact that that was being dripped into his veins, I wanted the nurses to tell me when's the doctors coming in next. And they said their next rounds are in the morning. So I did. I went up there in the morning, and that's when I challenged them on the protocol, unsolicited by the medical doctor. They actually said, yeah, we could consider taking him off that drug, vancomycin. It actually can cause side effects of acute kidney failure. And I said, you've got to be kidding me. You actually know this, but you've been drugging him with this from day one, even though antibiotics, which vancomycin is, does not treat a virus. And they said, well, it's just hospital protocol, Dr. Artis. And I said, well, that's a pathetic hospital protocol. Antibiotics don't treat viruses. And then they told me, that's not the only antibiotic we've had him on since day one. He's actually on three. And I said, why? You diagnosed him with a virus. Oh, anyway, at that point, I challenged them to show me everything they had found from day one, what they found diagnostically each day with their testing, only to find out he actually never tested positive for the flu. On day two, he actually did not have pneumonia. I had him show me the x-rays. He actually had pulmonary edema, which by definition means your lungs are filling up with water. And that's because they put him on vancomycin the day before, which causes severe acute kidney failure in a lot of people. And as they kept pouring salt water into his veins with the IV bag, the water didn't have anywhere to go because his kidneys were being shut down by the drug. So then the water was accumulating in his belly, and then it went into his lungs, and they were drowning him to death. That's what happened. So I challenged everything they did. I got them to change the protocol, take them off of the drug that was causing acute kidney failure. I then told them to put them on Lasix, which is a diuretic to help you get water out of your body, which they did and were not doing before that. And in 4 hours, we were able to reverse all of his pneumonia symptoms and all of his forced air breathing issues that he had for 5 days. And then when I got home that night, the hospital administrators told the nurses stationed to contact us and tell us they were no longer going to give my father-in-law Lasix, which is the drug that had turned around his entire breathing. He actually became alert and woke up after we got him all the liquid out of his lungs for 4 hours. He lost 20 pounds of water weight while we gave him Lasix that day. Then the hospital administrator turned around, called us, and said, we are no longer giving him, your dad, Lasix. We're permanently banning that from his treatment. And I knew this was their attempt to cover up what I had exposed, which was they gave him a protocol that was damaging to his body, causing him to fail, and then I had exposed it. Now, the next morning, I went up to the hospital. They kicked me out. They had security escort me out, and they actually convinced my wife's family to follow only the hospital protocol. And over a 48-hour period, they killed him with those protocols. So that's what happened to me early in February of 2020. Fast forward 3 months later, now COVID's going around America in May of 2020. I get this alert on my phone that in America, in one day, in the middle of May, it marked a historic day. It was the highest death total in one day for any country in the world from COVID-19, and it was in America. And I remember looking at that. Now, you have to understand, I was so angry for 3 months. Amidst grieving, I was angry, furious. I wanted to blow up the hospital. I wanted to murder the hospital administrators and the doctors that were treating my father-in-law because they murdered him. You know, it was like vengeance for me. I didn't do anything. I was just furious at home, paralyzed by the grief and anxiety and panic and anger. When I wanted to know, when the alert came on my phone that more people were dying in America than any other country, I wanted to know, what are they doing in hospitals to COVID-19 patients? And so in the middle of May of 2020, I looked up the CDC's treatment protocols for COVID-19, only to find out the CDC didn't have any listed. It stated on their website that they were actually adopting the NIH's protocols for COVID-19. And when I went on the NIH.gov's website, this is where there was one page on their COVID-19 tab for NIH. And it was a memo from Anthony Fauci, this Dr. Anthony Fauci I'd never heard of. And he states on that memo that there's one drug and one drug only that we're going to use during this pandemic in all Americans. It's an experimental antiviral drug called Remdesivir. And Remdesivir, which I had never heard of at the time, he said there were two studies with this experimental drug that were conducted, one in Africa a year earlier against the Ebola virus, and they found it safe and effective there. And then there was a study 2 months earlier in March of 2020 where the makers of Remdesivir called Gilead had actually given 53 COVID-19 patients Remdesivir, and it was proven safe and effective there. So I just happened to be at home because I actually sold my practice a year earlier than the COVID pandemic, and I clicked those studies to find out what Anthony Fauci knew about that drug that I didn't know because I'd never heard of it. All I knew now is it was never an FDA-approved drug ever at that point. And he said it was proven safe and effective against an Ebola virus in 53 patients with COVID-19. So I clicked the first study, only to find out that in that study, not only was Anthony Fauci lying about it being effective, it was actually found to be the most deadly drug of four drugs in that research trial. This trial in Africa against the Ebola virus included four experimental drugs. Halfway through the one-year trial, it was found by the safety board to be the only drug that killed over 50% of the people they gave that drug to. It was actually 53% of everybody they gave the drug to. As a result, they pulled Remdesivir from the study and didn't allow another African to get that drug. Anthony Fauci, I immediately knew then he was a liar, and he was lying to everybody when he said the Ebola virus trial proved it safe and effective. So then I wanted to know from this study, who funded the study? Couldn't believe it. It was only one person. It was Anthony Fauci. He funded the entire Ebola study, which means he would have been given all the data and been following along the entire one-year study. He would have known everything about the four drugs in that study. He would have known remdesivir was the most dangerous. He would have known it was the first drug pulled from the study because it was so deadly and ineffective. Yet he picks it as the only drug treatment for all Americans during the COVID-19 first year of 2020 pandemic. He then quoted a second study and said it was found effective in the COVID-19 53-person trial in March of 2020. So I opened that study. The conclusions from that study, which was sponsored and funded only by the maker of remdesivir called Gilead, they found that 31% of the 53 people they gave that drug to for 10 days only, 31% of all of them within 10 days experienced multiple organ failure, acute kidney failure, septic shock, and hypotension, all of which are lethal, in less than 10 days. Several people had to be taken off the drug before day 10 because they had to have acute kidney transplants. Now, just so you know, at this point in May of 2020, everything reported from New York, which was the epicenter of the actual pandemic in that period, in March and April, the news constantly was showing press releases where the doctors were saying this: when we're treating this respiratory virus called COVID-19, we have never seen a respiratory virus do this before. From the time we start treating them, the virus starts attacking the kidneys on day 3, causing acute kidney failure, and we don't have enough ventilators here in New York. We also don't have enough dialysis machines to handle the acute kidney failure. And now I knew the entire setup. Anthony Fauci had chosen a drug called remdesivir, proven to be deadly in an Ebola trial, and proven to cause severe acute kidney failure and liver failure in less than 10 days. And he put that as the only mandated drug in all hospitals in America, standing there as a chief medical expert for the country all of a sudden. And he actually stated in that memo in May, he told our federal government to buy up all of the experimental drug from Gilead and to not share remdesivir with another country until the end of 2020. Now, by the end of 2020, you just have to recognize this: America has less than 5% of the entire world's population. That means 95% of the human species lives outside of the United States. And supposedly there's a virus in the year of 2020 going around the whole world that's affected 7 billion people. In America, we have less than 5% of the population. Do you know that at the end of 2020, we had 550,000 dead Americans, supposedly from COVID-19? That's actually 25% of the entire world's total for deaths of that year. Do you want to know why the country that has less than 5% of the entire world's population at the end of 2020 had 25% of all deaths from COVID-19 worldwide? We were the only country doing one thing: pumping everybody full of one drug proven to be the deadliest in an Ebola trial and known to cause acute kidney failure, which leads to secondary pulmonary edema, flooding these lungs with water, and then they were going to have to vent you to death. This was the incredible whole setup. So I knew from May 2020 that Anthony Fauci had actually selected this drug called remdesivir to be the only treatment for this pandemic virus, supposedly, so that when he killed people in hospitals one after another in America, he could sell to the American media and tell them that this virus is killing hundreds of thousands of Americans. You're going to have to buy our vaccines or buy into our agenda that there's a savior vaccine coming. And I have said that from May 2020. The virus killed less than 1% of the entire world, worldwide, who's been infected for 2 years now, less than 1%. The drug he chose was proven to cause acute kidney failure and liver failure, which is lethal in 5 to 10 days in 30% of all people you give it to. Isn't that amazing? And this has been a great setup. In fact, today it is still the mandated drug of choice for all hospitals being, I don't know if you know this, every hospital right now is being bribed by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services with a 20% bonus payout to use remdesivir on all Medicare-aged patients. It's on their website. CMS.gov is bribing all hospitals to select supposedly the one savior drug for the pandemic. Why would Medicare have to give them a 20% bonus payout to use that drug if the drug is so miraculous and it works on everybody? It's pretty disgusting.
Exactly.
But they're still driving that narrative. Right now, amazingly, right now, America has 800,000 dead Americans. There's not even another country that has over 700,000 dead. There's not even one that has over 630,000 dead. We're still the only one that has the highest death rate. And for all Americans, that should be super disturbing. Supposedly, we have the greatest healthcare system of all 46 industrialized nations. Really? Then why are we failing more than all other countries?
Well, so that brings up the question then, Dr. Brian Artis, what should we be doing? And actually, other countries are starting to do this. What protocols actually do work that Americans have been deprived of?
Yeah, great question. All right, so there's currently 63 studies from 18 countries proving so far through the last 2 years that ivermectin, which is an anti-parasitic drug, can stop the COVID-19 infection process called COVID-19. It can stop that in 48 hours or less, and it can also stop the transmission of the virus, even in households to other family members, in less than 2 days. You know what's amazing about that? Do you know that's amazing? Ivermectin can stop the disease process in 48 hours or less, and it can stop you from being able to transmit COVID-19 to somebody else. Do you know what doesn't do that? The actual shots, the vaccines, Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson, even right now, I would love anybody listening to this show to go online on any search engine, and I want you to type in FDA.gov, our Food and Drug Administration, FDA.gov, on a search engine, fact sheet, F-A-C-T sheet, for COVID-19 shots, Moderna, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson. Pick any of the three. Pick all three, and then open the link, the first link that'll come up. Hit search and open the first link on the FDA's website. The FDA publishes a fact sheet, which is several pages long, for every single shot. And you should be shocked that on the very first and second sheet of those fact sheets, it actually says for every single shot, these vaccines do not prevent you from getting COVID-19, and they do not prevent you from transmitting it to anyone else. Really? Ivermectin does that. Your shots don't do that? What are they telling you in the media everyone in the world needs to get in order to stop the pandemic? If you're going to stop a pandemic, that would mean you had to stop the spread of the virus. Well, if the shots themselves are promoted as not stopping you from getting COVID-19 and not stopping you from spreading it, why on earth would anybody sign up for these? And why would we market them to the world that you need to get that as a solution? I'm just going to tell you right now, ivermectin is by far the most safe medication treatment for COVID-19. Do I think you need ivermectin? No. Ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine are way safer than remdesivir. Hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin are both anti-parasite drugs, but they have this side benefit of being what are called zinc ionophores. They actually force more zinc into your cells, so when a virus gets inside the cell, if it does, viruses, none of them, can actually replicate to cause disease in the presence of zinc. So if you're taking ivermectin, if you're getting hydroxychloroquine, you better be taking zinc. The benefit to fighting all viruses is its benefit to getting zinc inside the cells. So I personally recommend Dr. Peter McCullough's early treatment protocol. I like Zev Zelenko's protocol. I like Dr. Ben Marble's protocol, all of which include hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin. I also recommend for those having difficulty breathing ever, it would be budesonide, which is a corticosteroid. They're called budesonide respules. That's what you want to ask for. And you put that drug directly into a nebulizer and you breathe it for 5 minutes every 2 hours. And it is proven by Oxford twice in England to actually reverse the disease process and save 90% of all lives treated for COVID-19 in hospitals. Budesonide. It is super cheap. It's actually proven safe and effective for every age group, including preemie babies.
This is incredible. You know, we being the greatest country in the world with the greatest medical system, this just brings up the question, is this a plan intentionally to try to weaken this country? I mean, we have to ask that question based on what you just told us.
You definitely have to ask yourself that question. There is nothing else behind it but evil. I don't know if you understand this. Haven't you ever wondered why it is? I always made fun of it, that they call medicine the practice of medicine. I always thought, do you ever stop practicing and actually perform? Like, ever have the game? Right. Or are you always practicing? But then I started to realize that the option and the declaration to define it as a practice of medicine is actually a pretty good relative term, because every human being genetically is different. Not every single drug created, not every single supplement isolated, not every mineral and vitamin behave the same way inside of anybody. This is why they continue to call it the practice of medicine. If someone presents sick with pneumonia or the flu, you give them something and then you watch them for a couple days. If it makes improvement, continue. If it doesn't, you switch to another drug or another therapy. This is called the practice of medicine. You're trying to find out, what does this human being tolerate? How well does it perform? How well does it heal? Well, what they've done here is, for the first time ever, is they've destroyed the notion that early treatment is beneficial at all. They got rid of that from early on, which is disgusting. There isn't a disease process on the planet that the medical profession hasn't always encouraged early treatment. In fact, they even look for preventative measures, right? They want women from the age of 30, regardless if they have a history in their family of breast cancer, they want them getting mammograms every year just for prevention. They don't say, wait until you get these big, massive lumps in your breast that are measured the size of a basketball before you come in and get checked out. They don't say that. They say early treatment's always best. Early detection, always best. Anthony Fauci from the beginning and our federal health agency said, everybody stay home until you get really sick and then go to the hospital. And then we're going to pump you full of only one drug and one drug only, remdesivir. And then we're going to mass vaccinate all of you and expect it. And you're going to lose your jobs, your freedom to travel, your rights to have a job or go to school. It's just ridiculous. The whole thing's a planned agenda. And if you don't follow along, they're going to try to strip your liberties.
Which is why we need to stand up right now. In the last 2 minutes that we have left, Dr. Artis, if you could tell listeners where they can go to find your show, find out more about what you're talking about, and also tell them a little bit about True Labs as well.
Sure. So my actual website is thedrartisshow.com. The Dr. Artis Show. Doctor is just abbreviated DR, no period. Thedrartisshow.com. If you go there and actually create, if you register, click the little man icon on the top right, register, set up a username and password, and then sign back in. There's this new navigation tab that shows up called Resources. This is just for my members, and it's free. The Resources button is what I've created over this last year and a half as all the resources I can put together to help all Americans or worldwide have documentation to help protect them from this agenda. The most significant thing I think everybody listening to this right now needs to know, if you go on that Resources tab after setting up a username and password and signing back in, then you'll see the Resources tab. Click it, and then there's two columns. On the right-hand side, scroll all the way to the bottom. There's two forms everybody needs to know about. You need to know right now there's 10 ways every hospitals are being incentivized in America by our federal government to PCR test everyone that walks into it, to give you a COVID-19 diagnosis, to treat you with remdesivir, and to vent you. They also, there's a whole bunch of them. There's 10 ways hospitals right now are being incentivized with COVID protocols. So you better go, if you're going to go to a hospital or feel like you need to, you better go prepared with some documents that can protect you legally from their protocols. They're being bribed, incentivized. So at the bottom of the resources page on the right, at the very bottom, there's two forms on that second column on the right. One's called the Medical Directive to Physicians Forms. This is a form you need to print, sign, and then get notarized. And then the second form under there is called the Medical Power of Attorney Form. Hospitals are no longer offering Medical Power of Attorney Forms. They stopped that this year for the first time ever. It was always, everyone knew they could just walk in and go, can I get a Medical Power of Attorney Form? And they would just hand you one. Now hospitals are telling you, no, we don't have those forms. They don't exist. So you better have them when you go. So the first form I mentioned is called the Medical Directive to Physicians Form. It tells the hospitals, if you happen to go, what you consent to and do not consent to in the ways of treatment in that hospital. The very first thing you initial and sign, and these forms were created by attorneys, so they're legal and binding. The first thing says, if you think or presume I have COVID-19, or you do some diagnostic testing like a PCR test and you find out I am positive for COVID-19, I never consent to the use of remdesivir or Ventimiglia or any protocol that is known to cause harm or injury. The fourth bullet point is this. It says, I do not consent by being admitted in this hospital, nor if you transfer me to a psych ward or psychiatric facility. Never now or in the future do I consent to getting the COVID-19 shots. In the hospitals right now, the intake form that you fill out, in most hospitals in America right now, it is in hidden print in text on that form. It says, by signing this intake form, you consent to being given the COVID-19 vaccinations without orally giving your consent. So the fourth bullet point on that form is, I do not consent now, nor do I ever, to getting the COVID-19 shots, if that's important to you. I would print those forms, sign them, initial them, and then get them notarized. And have
that's
them
fantastic
home.
Advice. And so, Dr. Arsene, I'm sorry, we are out of time right now, and we are live. So I want to thank you for coming on. I'd love to have you on again in the future so we can get into even more of this. But thedrartistshow.com. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a great evening.
All right. So Dr. Brian Artis, CEO of Artis Labs and host of the Dr. Artis Show. And again, you can go to thedrartistshow.com. He's got resources there. Also, he's got his website, truelabs.com, where he's got some other things that can help people in the realm of health. Share this episode with every single member of your family, your friends, etc. I want to end today by a thought. Today is Pearl Harbor Day. December 7th, 1941, the Japanese surprise attacked the United States. China would do well to remember this day. And also, Americans would do well to remember it. We have the strength. Let's press into the Lord. May God bless all of you and keep up the fight.